In these ensuing years, you were increasing your square footage. You were at 900. Is that true to begin with?
That is true.
And then you increased?
Yeah. Even in the fall of 75, there was a guy who lived upstairs. I kind of mentioned we blasted him out in the first couple of weeks. For a little while, for about a month, Steve and I moved upstairs. We literally lived up there. I had a mattress on the floor in one of the bedrooms, and he had a mattress on the floor in the other. We shared a bathroom. Then there was kind of a kitchen area, dining room, living room, which was the other half, the westmost half of that upstairs. But we realized real quickly we needed to go find somewhere to live, and we needed to expand the business. So by the OU game of the fall of 75, we had actually opened upstairs. We did the simplest possible remodel. We just made the kitchen the bar. There was one restroom in that apartment. So we built this diagonal wall. The women got a sink and a toilet. The men got the tub. We created a little makeshift urinal, if you will, with some PVC pipe and a little bit of water running. So basically the guys were peeing in the bathtub. That was what Joe's was like. I mean, you talk about rustic. It was rough. It was rustic. But it was fun. And the kids loved it. And we loved it.
And
you know,
the
we
biggest,
were having a blast.
You were probably attracting more people than any other, because there were still other bars in town.
I can't say that. When we opened, there's a place, it's right next door. In fact, John, looking to your left, my right, that brick building was a place called the Gray Fox Inn when Steve and I came to Stillwater in 71. That was the biggest Budweiser outlet in this part of the country. So that place was smoking hot, ultra popular. And that's one of the reasons why we thought our location might work, because we thought we might could get some of that overflow crowd from the Fox. Because really everything else down on the other side of campus. The crowd we had was loyal. They loved Joe's, but it was a very small crowd. It really just grew a little bit at a time for all those early years. You know, everybody looks at Joe's today and they, oh man, everything that guy touches turns to gold. What they don't know is how many long days just working all the way till close. And then a lot of times, honestly, I would take whoever's left at close and just say, hey, come on over and everybody go over to my place. I mean, I truly befriended the customers. It was more than just a come to the bar. I mean, they were really my friends. And I did that for an awful lot of years. Clear up to 83. We had 13 employees in 83, all of whom I hired and worked with behind the bar at Joe's. So that's how big we were still in 83. When, in the fall of 83, the state legislature changed the drinking age from 18 to 21. And I mean, just totally kind of pulls the rug out from under this party I've been hosting every night. And in effect, it's going to take away the target market because it was OSU students that we were appealing to. They'd always been able to come in and drink. When that law was enacted, there were a lot of kids. They'd been drinking legally for a year or two, if they're 18, 19, 20. And then they couldn't until they turned 21. So that was really a bizarre time. I remember the last Saturday night before the law went into effect, like either on Sunday or Monday of the next week, all the TV stations in the state showed up to see how it was going to affect us. I was on the front page of the Tulsa Tribune. Remember that? That goes way back. They had a cut line about new law chills tavern owners. Pretty clever little cut line, I thought. They took a picture of me with a glass of beer sitting in front of me, and they said, quit smiling. You need to kind of look glum. And as you've seen from our interview this morning, I have a hard time not smiling. I've kind of beamed. That's just my nature. But at any rate, I tried to give them my best bummed out look. That was literally on the front page, you know, up in the header. At any rate, that was a big deal.
You saw this. You knew the legislation was being discussed in our capital.
Right.
Did you try to interrupt it in any manner?
No. I was too naive. I'm not even sure I knew they were doing it. Probably the beer guys had told us, but I was in La La Land. Right. I was partying every night, running a beer joint. And I had not joined the Oklahoma Restaurant Association. I was not really affiliated. And I was a member of the local chamber. I'd joined that very early on. But I was probably not all that up on public events, but I was scared to death. There's no doubt about that.
Really, what did you think then? What are you going to do?
Well, it's really funny. I thought back to my macroeconomics class at Oklahoma State. I remembered our studying about how, gosh, you know, if the government or if a competitor just kind of fundamentally changes the playing field, that you better be ready to move quickly and do something drastic if you're going to remain viable. And I thought to myself, I said, the only thing I could think up that might allow me to leverage our trade name that we already had established. And the location, obviously, was to increase the mix of products that we offer and expand the hours of operation. I thought maybe I could make it a restaurant and bar, not just a bar. I was concerned. I was concerned that it would mess up the ambiance, frankly, but I just didn't see any other way. So the way the law was written, once this law was enacted, we had 6 months to establish that we were generating more than half of our revenues from non-alcoholic products, or we would have to post 21 and over to come in the place. So I didn't have any time to waste. I called one contractor and began building an atrium on the east side of Joe's to increase the seating capacity. At the same time, I had another contractor start building me a kitchen in the back end. Went down to Oklahoma City, a gracious and wonderful gentleman by the name of Wayne Curtis was aware of Joe's and had heard a little bit about our success and that we were doing well. Basically said, hey, you tell me what you need. I will get the equipment for you and you can pay me as you can. He offered to finance the equipment for me, which he did. And his designer, a guy by the name of Jeff Swindle, still helps us with our kitchen design. We still buy all of our equipment from him. You know, it is interesting how and when people help you out, you just remain loyal to them. And I'm very proud of that record that we've got as a company. At any rate, all this stuff started moving pretty fast. And in all candor, even my bank got kind of cold feet at the time. And I ended up getting the kitchen financed by Bank First, which was right down the street from Stillwater National Bank, because I was moving a little too fast. Bar guys, you know, not exactly the most stable, most trustworthy. The overall track record, I'm sure, around the country, that's not a very quality group to be taking a risk on. And I got that. I had learned to not take things personally. As young as I was when I started, a lot of testosterone, a lot of ego wrapped up in all that. And that accountant that I was forced to hire gave me some great counsel because I'd come back from the bank and they'd turn me down. And he'd say, now remember, this is a real small town. You don't want to burn any bridges. Don't lose your temper. It's not personal. It's a business decision. That was great counsel.
The week or two or three after this drinking age went into effect, did your revenue drop off drastically?
It did. It did. Indeed, it did. We were scared. We were really scared. It was really the pivotal time in my career, and it was the most important decision we made.
So Bank First took a big gamble on you as well.
They did, and again, I'm not sure how big. Big is relative, because it didn't cost us a whole lot to do what we did.
What kind of a loan did you get?
But I'm going to guess that was maybe $25,000 or something.
On a business.
I hate to admit I'm a little foggy on that. That's been a long time ago. And I continued to bank with Stillwater National. I didn't move the accounts and everything, but it was certainly a significant loan, and I've remained loyal to Bank First ever since as well. Today, roughly, I owe each bank about half as much, and that's really how they make money, is on loans.
Sure.